to the YONation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
This is the YO Nation podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith. Greetings to you wherever you may be, and I'm joined by the founder of YONation.com, Mr. Brad Reed.
Hi, guys. How are you? Been a while.
Yes, it's been a long time, but we're back, and I think we're going to be back here with probably the best episode ever.
I'm really excited about this episode. We have a terrific guest tonight. We've been looking forward to doing this podcast for months, and we finally got to do it.
Yeah, so we will be talking here very soon, in a matter of minutes or seconds, to the voice of the Wyoming Cowboys, Dave Walsh.
That's so exciting. I'm really excited to have Dave Walsh. I grew up listening to the guy all through my childhood, and I'm sure most of you have probably done the same, whether you're out hunting on a fall Saturday or just happen to be not near Laramie. You've all got to tune in and hear Dave and Kevin put on a show for us for 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon, and yeah, we're really excited.
Or even in the stadium itself. I mean, I still bring my radio and listen to them when I'm in the stadium.
I don't do that because I'm normal.
Okay, well, a lot of people do. So anyway, so we could have a long, drawn-out intro, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to torture you. You don't want to listen to us. You want to listen to Dave. So without further ado, let's get the YO Nation hotline fired up, and let's talk to Dave Walsh.
We are very pleased to be joined here on the YO Nation podcast by the voice of the Cowboys, Mr. Dave Walsh. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, guys. It's great to visit with you. How are you?
We're doing wonderful.
Good.
So, all right, Brad, let's get the questions fast and furious here for Dave. You're up first.
So, I guess we're going to start with a question you probably get asked all the time, but how'd you decide to get into the broadcasting?
Well, it was so long ago. Actually, as a youth, I think I was probably 7 or 8 years old when I would fall asleep at night listening to sportscasts. I was always into sports, played a lot, and was never great at anything, but played a lot. And I would literally fall asleep at night listening to my little transistor radio of Los Angeles Dodger broadcast with Ben Scully or Los Angeles Lakers broadcast with Chick Hearn. These are two great announcers, and I think that early on I was so impressed by that part of it, just the radio broadcast end of it, and then all through my life I just was close to sports, and I listened to a lot of sports on radio, and especially, and then of course with television came along some of my great heroes like Kurt Gowdy, who would end up hiring me in 1984 to be the voice of the Cowboys. So it's funny how it all works out, but those are my first memories way back then. I did my first game. It was actually an outside broadcast of a junior high school basketball game. Imagine that, ninth grade in Chula Vista, California. And after that, then I think I was truly bitten. I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do. And I'm one of those fortunate ones that gets to do and has gotten to do over the years exactly what I've always wanted to do.
That's very rare for people to, you know, find a career that they really like as a child and then, you know, have the longevity and success that you've had, you know, doing it for so long. That's very, very rare.
Well, it is. And nobody knows that more than I. I think I've said this for the 31 years that I've been at the University of Wyoming. I think I'm the luckiest guy I know that I've been able to do this. And it happened really early on. I decided that I wanted to go to college. I really felt that I needed a college education. I think that would help me on down the line, and it did. And from that point on, since I graduated from college, I've been able to make a living doing radio. You know, it wasn't always all sports, of course. I had to work to get to that point where I was virtually, you know, involved with sports all day and in the job, But you know, to be able to do, to be involved in broadcasting and in radio and on the air for so long and been able to do that, it's just been a pleasure. It's been a wonderful thing. It really has.
And I think one thing that a lot of Cowboy fans don't know is you actually are a San Diego State Aztec.
Another lifetime ago, huh? yes, that's where I grew up in Chula Vista, California, which is just south of San Diego. Actually, at the very young age, moved around a lot, but ended up there in the San Diego area. And it just so happened that San Diego State had a outstanding telecommunications and film department, and the radio broadcast, the radio and television broadcasting major, and it was it just happened to be right there. So after a couple of years at Southwestern Junior College, finally getting all the athletic part out of my system and realizing that I better be a student here, and if I'm going to really do what I really want to do, and that led to San Diego State. Just happened to be right there, and it worked out. It was a great place during a great time. Early 70s in Southern California were spectacular, and all kinds of stuff going on, and a lot of things to talk about, that's for sure. And the sports activity was sensational, and from that point on, really, it's just been a fun ride.
Yeah, no, that's outstanding. And you kind of answered the question I had for you, is who are some of your influences? I heard you there mention Vince Scully, Chick Hearn, and even Kurt Gowdy. Are there other people of yesteryear, or maybe even guys today, that you kind of look at to learn from? Because I know broadcasting is something to where you could always improve.
Oh, sure. And radio broadcasting is something that, I've been a radio guy all these years. I've done some television, but obviously watched a lot of television, learned a lot off of television broadcasts. So I think in today's age, I really appreciate the announcing work and the commentary work, especially that a guy like Bob Costas or Jim Nantz does, on television. I think they're outstanding. But there are so many. I think that over the years, we've just seen such a wealth of talent. I got a kick out of the times I could listen to Harry Carey. It was very entertaining. It was a whole different style of baseball than Vin Scully's, let's say, or the baseball that I've done in the past. But you learn so much, and you can kind of take from everyone that you come across. I must say that over the last 30-some years, you get so involved in your own work that you really don't get a chance to listen to a lot of your compadres in the business. You really don't get a chance to. And unfortunately, I kind of fallen into that trap. But Rich Berkemshaw was an outstanding broadcaster at Colorado State. Of course, guys just in the conferences that I've worked with and have gotten to know, Mike Roberts for many years was the play-by-play voice of the New Mexico Lobos. Just spectacular. Paul James over at BYU for 30-some years, and Bill Marcroft, I think, about the same amount of time at the University of Utah. These are just guys that, I've kind of gotten to know and have had a chance to hear them do their thing, and they're just outstanding. Those are guys that I have a chance to still see from time to time. So there's so many. I'm kind of impressed by any and all broadcasters. I really am, I must say.
No, there is. There's a lot of talent out there, and you're right. It's just natural for you getting to travel across the conference to get to meet the different broadcasters at the different Mountain West institutions. So
I guess
people should, maybe listen to them, but then they wouldn't be able to listen to you if they're listening to the opponent. So
Well, and those are just a few. I've had the chance to meet broadcasters all over the country in traveling with the Cowboys, and I've gotten to know Lyle Bremser at the University of Nebraska, and who was just an icon and a great broadcaster. Kent Pavelka followed him. Now, those are two names that probably did University of Nebraska football and basketball over the course of 50 years, just between those two guys. So, just outstanding. I could go on and on. I mean, just the broadcasters that I have heard over the years and are so impressed by. Kurt Gowdy was, an idol of mine at a time when I was a young adult, really into the old AFL. I grew up in an AFL city in San Diego, and, of course, he worked for NBC, and at that time would cover a lot of the San Diego Charger games, a lot of those Denver Bronco games. Kurt Gowdy, back in the day when the AFL was just getting started and going back in the 60s, was kind of the voice of NBC Sports, did everything, did Super Bowls and well, everything, Final Fours, whatever NBC was doing, Kurt Gotti was doing it for many, many years. Well, he ends up hiring me. I got to know him, and first time I ever met him, he hired me to be the voice of the Cowboys. So, but he was very influential over the years of how you go about doing this, how you go about a broadcast, and keeping that excitement level and the, you know, the level at a pitch and at a peak where you need to keep it, I think, during a broadcast. So I learned a lot from Kurt Gowdy. He ends up hiring me. So, again, you know, it's just it's amazing how things work out.
Yeah, that's – I'm probably one of the rare people that have not heard Kurt Gowdy, so I'm a terrible person, but
No. Well, Kurt, of course, retired probably 25 years ago. So, yeah, he was you talk about an icon in the broadcasting business through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and into the 90s, early 90s, Kurt. Through the 80s, Kurt Gowdy was one of those guys, he really was.
So, every announcer's got, like, their catchphrase, and everybody that has listened to a Wyoming Cowboys broadcast on the radio knows that at the end of a victory, it is the score, oh, the score. Where did you come up with that at?
I don't know. It just came out a long time ago. It was long before I came to Wyoming. I remember using it when I was first doing high school games, the first live broadcast. I don't know. It was just something that came out, and I could have even heard it somewhere else, but I don't think so. It was just a time or a period where just the whatever it might be was kind of a popular or, I don't know, something that was said. And I just, at the end of a game of a big victory, first time I remember doing it was doing a high school game in Brawley, California, probably 1976, and it just came out. And I remember saying it one time after the big win, well, the next day, and all that next week, it was a football game, I heard about it. People would call in and say, hey, that was awesome. I just got a kick out of it. I think it was just kind of a cap of I'm kind of an upbeat, and I get excited, and I try to carry that excitement and convey the excitement. And it was just one of those things that I think people like. So I figured, geez, I suppose I should stick with that, and it's kind of stuck all these years.
And that's basically how Cowboy fans know that we've won a game, is they don't know that we've won until you say that.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it's going to be on my headstone, and I've only said it half the I would guess right around, it's probably close to 50% of the broadcasts I've done at the University of Wyoming, right? It's only after wins. So it's amazing what kind of catches on and what people get a kick out of. I've gotten a kick out of it, though, too. It's been fun.
No, and it's something that I know brings a smile to every Wyoming fan's face. So, it's great.
Well, good, yeah, I think so. And I it's the one thing, I you're right, because it's the one thing that people, when I do get a chance to talk to folks and meet them face-to-face, it's the one thing that always comes up, always, always. And that's great. So, I'm glad that it makes people happy.
All right, now we're also curious, too, how the changes in technology over the years has impacted how you do your job with things becoming more digital. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, as far as the broadcasting work that I do, it's been incredible, the changes. I'm talking about commercial editing or commercial production, that type of thing. As far as the play-by-play, that part has changed, absolutely. Even just the way we deliver the product has changed, you know, from satellite and whatnot to whatever. You know, it's gotten better and better, and the sound quality has gotten better. We still, the thing about live radio is, in that regard, the thing about that is there can always be things that can, I think that's the thrill and the excitement of live radio, is that there can always be something that can happen. We live in an amazing technological age, we really do, but there still can be things in live broadcast, radio broadcast particularly, that can still happen. As far as the production work and that part, I go back a long ways now, guys. I think I'm your grandfather's age, and I go back to an age where when we would edit tape or produce commercials, let's say a 30-second spot or a 2-minute piece or whatever it might be, when we had to do any editing whatsoever. We're talking about reel-to-reel tape that we would splice with the razor blade and tape with the tape, and then go back and hope that that splice holds. Sometimes it would not. When you go to play it, that age, and then it progressed from the 8 tracks to the CD to the thing. So I'm going back, but yes, I think that all as far as all that goes, the production where it has gotten better, it's faster, it's clearer, it's better quality, absolutely all that. And I think because of all the great technological advances over the years, I've been doing this for 40, 45 now altogether. That the play-by-play and producing a broadcast is not necessarily easier, but it's a little less complex, possibly, and it just I think you have a better chance of it coming out sounding good. I'm talking about radio here. Same holds for television, certainly. Technological advances have been amazing.
Yes, and they make podcasts like ours possible. And on a technology side, I know you have doing the research. I forgot about this game, but I do remember listening to it. I do believe you have a story out of Athens, Ohio, that maybe a lot of our listeners would like to hear.
Well, I'm sure. I think you're probably referring to a football game that we went to do against the Cowboys played Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. Yes, and we just the basic. Now, I'm guessing this is only maybe 10 years ago. I'm trying to remember what year it was exactly. I think it was in the early 2000s. Anyway,
that's right.
But all of our lines, we were actually, I had a feeling, the one thing about covering a school, a team, when you go wherever they go to do the broadcast, and you go a lot of great places, and that's just wonderful. Here we go to this place, and when we walk in to set up for the broadcast, we were in the defensive coordinator's office, and the countertop that looked out onto the field was at the end of this coach's office. And I remember thinking, wow, that's interesting. I don't know that we've ever done that, done a broadcast out of somebody's office. But that was the case. Here's his family pictures on his desk. We didn't have a whole lot of room. So I had, in fact, our engineer had to set up on a table right next to the coach's desk. So we're down a step. We have no power. We had no connection. The connections did not work. And we are scrambling. Well, we come. That's the night before. They were supposed to have it fixed the day of the broadcast. And so we show up to do it. Still nothing. Nothing. So, too late to switch locations, Kevin McKinney and I did the broadcast on our cell phones. And fortunately, we would, as one would kind of start to run out, we had one charger with us, and we would keep one hot, and we were literally at the end of the game just handing the cell phone to each other. I would call the play into the cell phone, and we would hang up and literally dial back the station, the network headquarters where we broadcast out of in Missouri. We would dial them back in every broadcast right before we were to come on and hand this cell phone back and forth. So yeah, that was that was one in Athens, Ohio. Cowboys won it in a thriller, I think, right at the end of the game, maybe even in overtime or something, as I recall. If we had to make that thing sound exciting, but yeah, we did it on cell phones. Yep, sure did.
Yeah, that's quite the story.
And you guys did your coach's show on the cell phones too, right?
Well,
the post-game show?
We have. We've had to from time to time. We do have kind of a side. We do the coach's interviews from the locker room post-game in football on the same equipment that our sideline guy, Reese Monaco, uses during the game. So it's kind of a wireless unit that will put the coach on headsets, and Kevin and I are in the box still when we interview the coach who's down in the locker room. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you were going to give advice to an aspiring broadcaster, what would you tell them?
Well, there I get so many young people that say, I'd love to do what you're doing, and I really have the thing. I said, well, the first thing that you have to do is get on. You have to get on. You have to do it. You know, it's the old Nike thing. Just do it. You have to first do it. I know that sounds simple, but in this particular business, there's so many that would like to do it. Well, you have to somehow get that first shot, get on the air and do it and find out if it is what you really want to do. I guess that's the same, guys, for any vocation, you know, when you think about it. But in this business, I know that's what I thought. You just have to first take that step and do it. Now, that means you're probably going to have to, you know, go somewhere, leave home or whatever, go to a small market and get your start. So it does, just getting that opportunity is probably going to change your life. But I've always said, okay, get and do it and find out if it's really what you want to do. Because if it is, then you will, you'll just naturally, because it gets in your blood and you realize, yep, this is it. And so you'll do whatever necessary just to, with a great work ethic and stick-to-itiveness, you'll do whatever you have to do to continue doing it. You know, I know that sounds really simple, but first you got to try it, got to get in it, and then just to, you know, keep working at it and getting better. Try to get better every broadcast. I think it's just the things you think about and try to do with each broadcast are the same things I think the players and the coaches and the people involved in what you're broadcasting are really trying to do. You're just trying to get better, just trying to do things a little bit better each time out. And I think if you keep that in mind as you continue along, then I think that really helps you along the way too.
Yeah, no, that may be simple advice, but I do believe it is very accurate. So let's kind of move on here from the broadcasting, and let's talk a little about Wyoming athletics here. Mm-hmm. With your job, obviously, you've gotten the chance to travel all around the conference and seen the different facilities that they have. So I just want to get your thoughts on the recent investment that the state legislature has and some of the great donors of the university have gotten in terms of building Wyoming's facilities up and how they rank with the rest of the conference.
You know, Brad, Chad, I think both the University of Wyoming and Wyoming Athletics has, in over the last 10, 15 years now, has really done everything and beyond what has needed to be done to keep up, to be able to compete in either the Western Athletic Conference or the Mountain West Conference. They've done everything facilities-wise, I think, they can do, and beyond, and more. Some of the facilities at the University of Wyoming, like the RAC, and now it's even going to take on a bigger phase coming up with this new, I think it's something like $42 million. It's almost $50 million, I believe, this next renovation will be. With the IPF, the Indoor Practice Facility, those two right there those two facilities are as good as anywhere you're going to see, not just in this conference, but really anywhere. I mean, they stack up anywhere. And those, of course, those advancements in the facilities obviously help in recruiting. They help in building programs. But we've seen these great works and great things being done facilities-wise, buildings on the campus of the University of Wyoming. We've seen the new law school, the new English department. It's everywhere, and it's been a real phase at the University of Wyoming as a whole that's been going on. Well, the athletics has done the same. The indoor tennis facility is as good as any in the conference. Now, if you're talking about the suites, the Wildcatter suites up on top of, you know, War Memorial Stadium, as good as any suites you're going to see anywhere, really. Maybe not as many of them or as big, but not necessary at the University of Wyoming at this point. But the facilities are as good as you're going to find. They really are anywhere. The new arena auditorium, fantastic. And that's just the first phase. It's only about a third of what is going to be done by the time they are done with the foyer and the outside of the arena auditorium. That is as nice a facility. I'm here to tell you, I've seen a lot of them all over the country. That basketball facility is as nice and as inviting as anywhere in the country. It really is. It has its own personality. It's Wyoming, but it is as nice as anywhere as you can go watch a basketball game. It really is. So facilities-wise, what we've seen here at Wyoming has just been sensational. It is great when you do have a state legislature that will match a lot of what you fundraise. Isn't that nice? And that's what the University of Wyoming and the state of Wyoming, that arrangement is fantastic. And that's something that you don't see everywhere. So that has a lot to do with the facilities improvements that we've seen at the university as a whole, certainly, but absolutely in Wyoming athletics. Just fantastic. Really is.
You know, it is great to see the state legislature put these programs together to help the state's only four-year university, so it is great to see.
It really is, and I think it's really worked out well when the state basically, essentially, I know it's not quite this simple, but it has turned out to be this way. Well, the state legislature says, we will match whatever you go raise. So that's a pretty good incentive to go do the job and fundraise and get out there and help yourself, you know? When you know that that's going to get matched, that really is nice. It really is.
Yeah, and, you know, Wyoming is probably one of the rare institutions in the country that has the benefit of, you know, being the only four-year university. So obviously, there's no split funds. It's everything can go to the university. We want to make it the biggest and best, you know, for everybody in the state of Wyoming.
Oh, sure. And, of course, Wyoming is the smallest in population state. I mean, we're talking about, 450,000, 500,000, maybe a little over at this point, right in there, 500,000 people. So, to have one university, that all kind of, when you look at the numbers, that might make a little sense. But, yes, it is great having the support of your state body there, the state legislature, to match 100%. I think there are some states where they do get help from their state level, but it might not be a 100% match. That's what we have here at this university. And, yeah, the fact that it's the only four-year school in the state, I'm sure that really helps, absolutely. You want that institution to be top-notch. And the state, the people in the state, and the representatives certainly have shown that that's tops on their list, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's terrific that, you know, they've made note of that.
Really is.
So you've covered cowboy football for, 31 years. You've covered basketball forever. So of the teams that you've covered live over the course of that time span, who would you say has probably been your favorite teams to watch during that time?
Well, gosh, there have been some that have been a little extra exciting, possibly because they've gone further. I think of the Fennis Dembo, Eric Lechner teams back in the late 80s, when Fennis Dembo and Eric Lechner and there's two Hall of Famers right there that in the mid-late 80s, they took the Cowboys to two consecutive NCAAs and the Sweet 16 as sophomores or as juniors, and then of course went to the finals of the NIT when they were sophomores. So we went back to New York, and that particular team, of course, will always be, I suppose, a little special to me, only because it was the first team. Also, my first year at the University of Wyoming covering basketball was Fennis Dembo, Eric Lechner, Turk Boyd. I don't know if you remember these guys, but they were just fantastic players. Their first year, they were freshmen, so we all kind of felt like we kind of started together. So that one was special to me, and they had such great success. And their senior year, won 26 games, and went to the NCAAs again. But I think that one was special as far as the basketball teams. I'll tell you, this last, I know I'm going to, this sounds like a cop out, guys. I'm sorry, but this last experience at the Mountain West Conference tournament in Las Vegas, just 6 weeks ago, whatever it was, 2 months ago, was amazing. It was very special. That was and that team, I think, will I'll always remember as being a team that there were those five seniors and it was kind of their time but they went into the tournament not necessarily they weren't over four or five seeds, four seed, whatever they were, five seed, and to win three straight and to beat the teams and to have one go overtime, that had a 3-day little excursion there in Las Vegas was sensational. So that's kind of the beginning of when I first came, and then what has just recently happened. Just very special teams. I think in basketball, I go back to the Reggie Slater teams were special. He was such a special player, and they had some success. Of course, the Marcus Bayley, I think in 2002, 2003, the Marcus Bayley teams were outstanding. The previous team that went to the NCAAs, just very, very special. Football teams, kind of the same way. You know, in the early 80s or mid-80s when I came, the Cowboys, the first couple of years, not so well, didn't do so well. Al Kincaid was the coach, then Dennis Erickson for 1 year in 86. That got exciting. But then Paul Roach came as the head coach, and the Cowboys won back-to-back conference titles in 87 and 88 and didn't lose a conference game in those 2 years. It was just unheard of. That's the last Cowboy football team to win an outright conference championship in football. We've had division winners. We've had, you know, bowl teams, but that's the last conference championship team back in 1988. So that team was very, very special, and there have been some. I thought the bowl team that Joe Glenn took to the Las Vegas Bowl and beat UCLA was very, very special. It was one of those games Cowboys were a heavy underdog, double-digit underdog in that game, and weren't expected to win. I walked the field when the UCLA players were coming out before the game, and I thought to myself, oh my, we could be in a little bit of trouble here. When you see Maurice Jones-Drew and Mercedes Lewis and Olsen, the quarterback, walk out on the field, these guys are all NFL players. Their linemen were unbelievable, and the Cowboys won that game. So, there have been some great ones over the years, but guys, I think that's just being around a long time. You know, I've had a look at a lot of teams. That's for sure.
No, that is true, and it's great to hear your stories and.
I could go on and on.
Yeah.
Sure. You gotta cut me off. You gotta slap me here because there's a lot to look at there, and there's a lot to remember. I really could. It's been fantastic, and there have just been some very special athletes that I've had the opportunity to see play every one of their games, and it's amazing coaches and people. It's been great. It really has been.
Okay, well, we have one more last question for you, Dave, and we'll stay here in the present day.
Okay.
And I just want to get your thoughts. You do the coaches shows for both football and basketball, and I just want to get your thoughts on Coach Bowl and Coach Shiat. It seems to me that we have two guys who really understand the state and the culture, and they have a blueprint and a vision, and we're already seeing that with Shiat getting us to the NCAAs, and we're starting to see Bowl just in his first year, how he wants to team the run. How do you think these guys stack up with the University of Wyoming?
Well, I number one, I think you kind of hit on it earlier. They both fit here. They're very comfortable here. They are well liked. People like them. They seem to be the type of look you straight in the eye and give you the honest truth, and this is what we're going to try to do, and this is what we want to do, and this is what we've done before, and we're going to try to do it right here at Wyoming. Straight shooting, honest type approach, basic approach people like here, of course, and so I think they're both just great fits. I will say this, both Coach Shiat and Coach Bull are good friends. They really like each other. They care about each other and each other's programs, and I think that's because they're a lot alike. You know, they really believe in the straightforward, hard working, going to grind you down. We're going to Coach Bull totally understands it's football is a very physical game. We're going to be physical. If running the football is a physical act, we're going to do that. That's what we're dedicated to do. And then on the flip side, we're going to come at you like crazy on defense. And then that's kind of what they both do. They both really adhere to that. They lean on their defenses. And, you know, in those two sports over the years, I think that when it really comes down to most teams that are successful and win championships, they are pretty good on that side in football, on that side of the ball, and they're pretty good defensively when it comes right down to it in basketball. So they're both pretty basic. Right, they're going to come right at you, be honest, and they want the players to play with a great deal of desire and emotion and controlled emotion. And I like it, and I think Wyoming people like it. So I think they're great fits, and they've both been very, very successful, and I think they're going to continue to be. I really do.
All right, yeah. I think most Wyoming fans would agree. So we'll look forward to you broadcasting many victories in both sports in the future.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and it's very, very exciting. That's the great thing. You never know, and that's what makes it exciting because because it's the Cowboys too. That makes it exciting. I'm in.
Mm-hmm. All right. I know yeah. Brad has one more thing, and then we'll let you
Brad.
Go.
Sure,
Dave,
Brad.
Dave, I can't thank you enough for joining Chad and I. I don't even know how many Saturdays in the fall I spent with my dad out in the hills of Wyoming hunting and listening to Cowboy Radio, and you and Kevin calling the games. I remember that just from being, you know, just a wee little kid to, you know, even as near back as like 5 or 10 years ago. And so it's been terrific to hear you on the radio all these years. And yeah, this has been terrific.
Well, Brad, I got to tell you, that story right there just tells you how special the people are in this state. You don't hear that in a lot of places. And I've heard that for many, many years. You know, I was in a duck blind in over in Lingle and listening to you. I had my headset on listening to you. I was we were hunting in just outside of Sheridan. Well, wherever, you know, fishing. I had a line in the water with my headset listening to you. The people in this state and the people that care about Wyoming cowboy and cowgirl sports and athletics and get into it are special. They're different. They're a great different, let me tell you, a passionate different. And that story you just told about them, that you think about that, that's pretty special. And I think about that quite often, I must say. I think of that all the time when we're doing a broadcast. Well, it'll cross my mind. I just wonder if there's some fella out there holding holding a shotgun or got a line in the water or whatever. I think about that all the time. And I think that just tells about how special the people are and how special this state is and how special cowboy and cowgirl fans are. It really is something. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you've been on the radio as long as you have and a lot of us have grown up, you know, from the, like Chad and I, you know, we've grown up with you on the radio pretty much our entire lives.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great thing to hear, and it's two things. It's a great thing to hear. Makes me feel a little like I've been around a long time, but I do have 3 grandchildren, so I guess that's okay. It's been great, guys, and that's great to hear. I always ask when somebody says I listen to you all the time, I have one question. Have you been able to tell what's going on?
The TV just gets super annoying and you don't want to listen to it. Everybody knows you can turn on Dave and Kevin and you're going to get a terrific experience out of it.
So, and you can tell what's going on, though?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's all I need. That's good.
Yeah, we always know where you stand on the game. So
good, good, good.
It's never been a problem.
Well, great. Well, thanks for having me on, and thanks for listening. Really appreciate it, guys. Really do.
Yes, thank you for your time.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, go Pokes.
See you, Chad. See you, Brad. Thank you.
And there we go, folks. The voice of the Cowboys, Mr. Dave Walsh. Wow, that was quite the interview, Brad.
That was terrific. I'm glad we finally got to do this. I've been looking forward to that for a long time.
Yes, we finally got Brad to be proactive here in the off season, and we got Dave Walsh. So, yes, thank you again to Dave. And, yeah, just the great stories that he has and his experience. I think hopefully you out there in the podcasting world will enjoy this episode because we sure did enjoy broadcasting it.
I feel like we probably could have gone on for a very long time with Dave and just hearing his stories, and I'm sure we'd have enjoyed every minute of it.
Yes. So, all right, so we are
smack dab here in the off season, with spring football wrapping up. Graduation is happening soon.
Hopefully.
And before we know it, we'll all be together at War Memorial Stadium for the kickoff of football season. So, but before then, we hope we'll have a few podcasts previewing some stuff. So stick with us here at YONation.com. And we thank you for listening. So for Brad Reed, I am Chad Smith saying go Pokes.